Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Was the sound inside the hotel where the White House Correspondents Association dinner was being had, where President Trump had never been as president, and I think it's been like 15 years since he actually attended, where a gunman, as we know, I'm sure many of you know the story, basically ran through the magnetometers and ran past the first perimeter defense of the Secret Service, and they drew their guns and were shooting at him, and somehow between that and the actual ballroom, he got tackled, and the president, of course, was whisked away 20 seconds later. It was kind of weird. They got J.D. Vance off the stage right away, and then eventually they kind of came out and got the president, and then they, you know, so either he fell or they forced him to the ground. He says they told him get on the ground as they were walking away, he and Melania, and then, you know, they're getting to the ground, going the other direction off the stage from J.D. Vance. And the whole place was just stunned. This comes, 45 years after President Reagan had gotten shot outside that same hotel. Not that there's any connection between the two events, but people have been remarking on it. By the way, security upgrades made to the hotel after the Reagan shooting allowed it so that the the beast would go underneath the hotel so that, you know, the president would not have to be out in the open like that. A lot of other security upgrades. This is a very familiar location of the Secret Service over the years. But the president then going on basically TV and doing an interview, or not an interview, but I mean sort of, you know, a press conference not very long afterwards.
Well, thank you very much. And that was very unexpected. But incredibly acted upon by Secret Service and law enforcement. And this was an event dedicated to freedom of speech that was supposed to bring together members of both parties with members of the press. And in a certain way, it did, because the fact that they just unified, I saw a room that was just totally unified. It was in one way very beautiful, a very beautiful thing to see.
You know, it's interesting, when he was giving this first set of comments after the incident, maybe my brain just hears things a little bit differently. I almost thought he was getting ready to say, now they know what it's like to be me. You know, I almost thought that was going to be the thing he was going to say is, you know, I've had obviously a person shoot me and try to kill me and me come very close to dying because of hate. And, you know, had another case where they didn't, you know, obviously I was not there, but they discovered this man who was waiting to try to kill me on the golf course. But now, you know, I thought that the unity was going to, I don't know, just because my, you know, you're, when somebody's like, when you're watching a movie, your brain is playing ahead. What's the likely plot coming next? And, you know, so when somebody's speaking, a lot of times I'm thinking about what are they, you know, where are they going with this? And I actually thought that was what he was going to say. And I think what he didn't really specify, but I think all he meant was, you know, just it brought us together in the sense of us all being in the same place together and, you know, dealing with this incident together.
A man charged a security checkpoint armed with multiple weapons. And he was taken down by some very brave members of Secret Service, and they acted very quickly and have just released, for purposes of transparency, clarity. I've ordered it to be put out. You probably have it by now, put out on Truth and put out on many other platforms. A tape showing the violence of this thug that attacked our Constitution, and also showing how quickly Secret Service and law enforcement acted on our country's behalf. Really did a great job.
And he says, actually, this is why we need the facility that I'm building at the White House grounds for security.
We looked at all of the conditions that took place tonight, and I will say, you know, it's not a particularly secure building. And I didn't want to say this, but this is why we have to have all of the attributes of what we're planning at the White House. It's actually a larger room, and it's much more secure. It's drone-proof, it's bulletproof glass. We need the ballroom. That's why Secret Service, that's why the military are demanding it.
Now, it's interesting because he was apparently checked into the hotel. The hotel was closed to the public starting at 2 p.m. that afternoon. So the only people who could go in would be people who were staying or who had tickets to one of the events, including this event. There were other events that night as well. And so, you know, he was a guest at the hotel, which, of course, means that this was more than just some random spur-of-the-moment action. This was obviously well premeditated, at least long enough in advance for him to secure a room at a hotel like this where the event was going to be taking place. I mean, not that the location was not particularly secret, but as he said, this is not the first time he's had to endure this.
So as you know, this is not the first time in the past couple of years that our republic has been attacked by a would-be assassin who sought to kill. In Butler, Pennsylvania, less than 2 years ago, you all know that story. And in Palm Beach, Florida, a few months after that, we came close. We really had, again, we had some great work done by law enforcement.
And by the way, that way of saying it, I think, is exactly right. If somebody tries to assassinate the president, they are attacking the republic. They are attacking our Constitution. They are attacking all of us. Because he is the duly elected president of the United States. And, you know, seeking to undo an election through assassination, murder, however you prefer to describe it, is by extension an attack on the very system that so many people have fought and died for. He's right. It is an attack on the Republican, not just on him or his views or anything like that. It's essentially saying, I'm going to take it into my hands to end the life of the person that the majority of the country through the Electoral College and the process of our elections picked to be our leader. That's exactly right.
But in light of this evening's events, I ask that all Americans recommit with their hearts in resolving our difference peacefully. We have to resolve our differences. I will say, you had Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Conservatives, Liberals, and Progressives. Those words are interchangeable, perhaps, but maybe they're not. But yet everybody in that room, big crowd, record-setting crowd, there was a record-setting group of people, and there was a tremendous amount of love and coming together. I watched, and I was very, very impressed by that.
And can we not try to move more in that direction? You know, it's one of these... It's not an easy conversation because the other side will not easily agree. But there is certainly a tone of contempt and hatred for this president that I've never seen in my lifetime. Every president has haters. Every president has detractors and critics and people who make fun of them, and that's American politics, okay? That's really, I mean, it doesn't make it good, it doesn't make it Christian, but it is normal, okay? This president has had a uniquely vitriolic level of hatred. Now, I know the sort of Trump haters who are listening to me right now, and I cherish the fact that people who disagree with me, I'm not particularly a Trump lover, but, you know, he is the president. You should consider that. We'll say things like, well, what about the Let's Go Brandon chants? What about the kinds of things that were said? Yeah, I just got done saying that. Like, there was hatred for Obama. There was hatred for Bush. There was hate. I mean, you know, how many bumper stickers did you see after the Iraq War? Bush lied, thousands died. How many times did you see that bumper sticker? I mean, loads. You know, political hatred is not new in America. But there's a level that's just different when it comes to Trump. And I know the people who hate him will say, well, it's his fault because he's different. And he's at a much more vitriolic and ridiculous and absurd level of attack and causticity. Okay, I mean, you know, it's also true. But think about how the media deals with Trump in general. Obviously, talk radio is a little bit different. But generally speaking, the level of contempt and hatred for him is certainly not blunted any by the media. Right? Except in times of crisis. But what could be done more to give a balanced view of him, the things he does, the things he says, you know, the media passes on that opportunity, generally speaking. And, you know, you've had now, what, 6 years, four first and two now, of late night, not quite two, one and a half, late night criticism from the three main talk. I mean, not so much Jimmy Fallon, but certainly Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel and other late night talk hosts. That is just extraordinary. And the reason I bring this up is because what you sometimes hear from the left, you often hear from the left, is the environment of hate and contempt around people. They've historically said it about gays or blacks or women or Muslims. You pick your group. Facilitates, enables, fosters violence. Such that the people who have repeatedly made the terrorist at the center of the movie be an Islamic radical, they will say, have created a perception of Muslims that facilitates violence towards all Muslims, regardless of whether they're, you know, radicals or not or anything else. Well, okay, if that's true, and certainly that's been the claim about, again, particularly gays and Muslims, but, you know, others as well. Isn't there some of that to be said about Trump? Isn't there some of that to be said about Republicans in general? Well, Trump has been so hostile to Democrats. He has. There's no doubt. I'm not saying that there's sort of all the blame in one place, but can we really as a country be in the right place with regards to our, again, duly elected leaders if the treatment of them is so absurdly hostile all the time? It's a question you should ask. And I think a lot of folks in the media were, I hope, were kind of asking that question of themselves. Did I help make this happen? Because if you go online over the weekend, this was the most amazing thing. I was stunned. Within an hour of this event, people who I know who, I mean, otherwise are sort of relatively normal people were talking about this like it was fake, like it was staged, like it was something done by the president to distract us from something or to gin up sympathy, or I don't know what they think in their minds. But, I mean, that's, and by the way, not just a, you know, hey man, did you ever consider the possibility? But like, they just take it for granted. They assume it. Like, you're stupid if you don't believe that it was fake. Just, how far down the hatred rabbit hole do you have to go for that to seem like not just an option? Because, you know, logically, you know, we live in a world where we found out crazy plots, okay? I mean, logically, you have to say, I suppose it's possible, you know. But you know, I suppose it's possible is a whole lot different than you're an idiot if you're not totally sold that that's what happened. These people are taking that position. You actually had MS Now, it used to be MSNBC, one of the former presidents of the White House Correspondents Association actually went on TV and said, oh my God, what's wrong with us that we're having this reaction? Yeah, bro. You know, you can't really be surprised. You can't really clutch your pearls and say, oh my God, how did our people get to this conclusion when this is the product you've been selling? For the entire time he's been a candidate since the golden escalator, you know? It is perfectly normal and American. And I wouldn't, listen, even with what I'm saying about there being some responsibility for the environment created here that fosters insane people like this, I'm still not saying we should restrict that speech. But you can say that a speech is legal or that content is legal or constitutional without saying it's good. I mean, the whole idea of the First Amendment is to protect bad speech. Legal, but bad. And I think there's a lot of people that ought to be asking themselves, you know, what am I contributing to in the way I conduct myself, in the way I use my newspaper or my TV station or my radio broadcast or my podcast or my X feed or whatever. And like I said, the former White House Correspondents Association president, Eugene Daniels, on MS Now. One thing I'm disturbed by as we woke up this morning is seeing folks on the internet say this was a false flag, that we are basically all in cahoots to do say this, you know, to do say that this act was staged. And, you know, other folks, even Jonathan Capehart was like, what? What's wrong with us? You know, and that good. Ask that question. Think about that question for a little bit. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Just one quick fact or two. Yes, a police officer was shot, apparently in his vest, not seriously harmed, but taken to the hospital. The assailant was tackled, shot at but not shot, which I think is a weird. It's weird to brag about the Secret Service when a bunch of them shot at the guy and couldn't even hit him. And they had to tackle him in the end, or somebody tackled him in the end. But, yeah, I mean, everybody inside was safe, and so that's good. And also, you know, what's being done to make sure this doesn't happen again? Well, I don't know that you can do anything to make sure this doesn't happen again. The system worked right. He never got inside the room. You know, he was a long way away from anybody, and there was a lot of other layers of defense between him and the president anyway. So just as, you know, if you were wondering about the facts. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance tech at a university, he knows ordering from multiple suppliers takes time away from keeping their arena up and running. That's why he counts on Grainger to get everything he needs, from lighting and HVAC parts to plumbing supplies, all in one place. And with fast, dependable delivery, he's stocked and ready for the next tip-off. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thursday at 9, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Executive Director Bruce Cady and Autumn McAllister, Director of Emergency Services at Lakeview Center, help connect individuals from crisis response to coordinated entry, housing resources, and long-term stability. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care in our area. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel, Thursday at 9, with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by Nurses on Call.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do not ever call me at the source.
Anything else that sounds like that. Sorry, that's a homophone joke, and it should have been a same word joke. Anyway, 528. What's a homophone? What's he saying? Why is he anti-gay? No, stop. Come on, learn your words better. 437-1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And if you wake up in the morning not feeling refreshed, lots of things could be the cause. But if it's every day and you toss and turn at night and, you know, you can't get a good night's sleep, hey, probably you know this already, and I'm only telling you what you already realize, which is you need a new mattress. You need a good mattress. You deserve a good mattress. A good mattress is a medical device. It's healthcare. It's helping you to feel refreshed and get the good, you know, deep REM sleep that you need and, you know, really enjoy when you wake up and like, yeah, instead of, you know, like, let me get up and work out the kinks caused by the bad mattress I'm sleeping on. So go to the sleep center and say, all right, here's the problem. I wake up in the morning feeling like I got into a fight with 18 raccoons overnight. Okay, they'll fix that. You know, they can teach you about mattresses and what. And there's not a one-size-fits-all. Everybody's different. Everybody likes different firmness and pressure points and type of mattress, and they'll walk you through all that. Or if you just want to be left alone to look around, they can do that for you too. No commission, no pressure. Best selection, best service, best price. 30 years, often imitated, never duplicated. the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway. 529 News Radio 92.3. The deadline came and went on Friday for the clerk of the court to, issue the payment for the discretionary funds. You've got Alex Andrade, our state representative, and, you know, I found myself, we talked about this on the wrap on Friday, you know, I really like Alex. Alex is very smart, and I would not normally bet against Alex. And then Pam Childers is a good friend of mine. She's very smart, and I wouldn't normally bet against her. But yeah, one of them's going to be wrong, you know, in all of this. And the one thing that I think we should all probably agree on in the case of whether the commissioners do or don't have discretionary ability to spend county money on, you know, individuals or private charity is it deserves an answer. We will all be better off. The whole state, frankly, will be better off knowing whether those funds and that use is legal or illegal. And a judge is going to be the one to have to make that decision.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. An appearance in federal court later today for the gun-toting suspect Cole Allen, who the feds claim wanted to shoot up the White House Correspondents' Dinner with President Trump attending for the very first time.
31-year-old Cole Allen of California. Now, he ran past a Secret Service checkpoint, allegedly, in the hotel lobby and was apprehended unharmed. And in federal court today, we expect at least two initial charges, using a firearm during a crime of violence and assault on a federal officer with a dangerous weapon.
Fox's Doug Luzader. The first state visit for King Charles and Queen Camilla kicks off today, marking America's 250th anniversary.
He's a friend of mine for a long time, so he's coming, and we're going to have a great time.
That is President Trump speaking to Fox's The Sunday Briefing. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 62 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get to a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's in just a few minutes. Well, a couple of investigations underway after some shooting incidents here across the area over the weekend. Pensacola police are investigating a Sunday morning shooting after a woman was found with a gunshot wound to her back. An Escambia sheriff's deputy was flagged down on the interstate by a car that the wounded woman was being taken to the hospital in. She was taken to West Florida. A SWAT team responded to a home on North 17th Avenue where police executed a search warrant. That woman's condition is unknown and no suspects have been named as of yet. In a separate incident, one man is dead, two others wounded at a shooting outside of the 850 Event Center on Delano Street in Escambia County on Friday night. Deputies responded to that about 10:20 p.m. that night, where they found a man in the parking lot with multiple gunshot wounds. That man died at the scene. Witnesses say a physical altercation preceded that shooting. A woman was also struck by a bullet in the parking lot. She was treated and released. And a third victim with a gunshot wound to the chest was dropped off at a hospital by a black vehicle that was also seen fleeing that scene. That victim also survived. No suspects have been identified. An investigation is ongoing. Escambia County School District students will have some new rules for the next school year after the school board approved changes to the elementary and secondary code of conduct on Tuesday. Among those changes, students who park on campus will be subject to random drug screenings. AI-equipped or camera eyewear will be banned. And blankets, robes, and pillows will not be allowed at school. Elementary changes include requiring parents to provide bike locks and a warning that trespassing on campus could lead to criminal prosecution referral. A public hearing on the changes is scheduled for June 16th at 5:30 p.m. before those new rules take effect. A Pensacola man is facing charges under Florida's new super speeder law after being clocked at 137 miles an hour in Crestview on Saturday. Officials say 20-year-old Jim Mitchell was stopped on State Road 85 near Live Church Road. He's charged with excessive speed over 100 miles per hour. A passenger in the vehicle, 25-year-old Akeem Malik Finley of Baker, was also arrested. He was charged with possession of a controlled substance and placed on an ICE immigration hold. Senator Rick Scott calling on Democrats to fully fund the Department of Homeland Security following Saturday's shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Scott posted on X that funding the Department of Homeland Security and the Secret Service should not be a political fight after another assassination attempt against the president. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will be seeing a beautiful day today with a small 20% chance of some rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Heading into Tuesday, 20% chance of rain, high near 83. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Keeping partly cloudy skies around on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain and a high near 84. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 62 with partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Did you know Florida West Economic Development Alliance exists to deliver measurable results for Escambia County? Our focus is simple, growing local businesses and attracting new ones that create jobs, increase wages, and bring private investment to our community. Every project is evaluated on its ROI to taxpayers. Florida West works to ensure Escambia County remains competitive for high-value employers today and for decades to come. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When the news gets complicated, you don't need more volume, you need better questions.
Better questions.
Hugh Hewitt sits down with lawmakers, legal experts, journalists, and insiders, and actually lets them talk.
Lets them talk.
Long-form interviews, real context, and time to understand what's really happening behind the headline. Hugh Hewitt.
Hugh Hewitt.
Weekdays, 2 to 4, on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Item number 26-485, proposed ordinance number 05-26, repealing section 4-3-66, corrugated cardboard of the Code of the City of Pensacola.
I know normally you wouldn't think that something as bland as the cardboard ordinance would lead to drama. But you'd be wrong, because you don't keep tabs on your favorite soap opera politicians and what things they get invested in and what things they get accused of in the city of Milton or the city of Pensacola. Same music, slightly different stagers. But in this case, it's Charles Baer and D.C. Reeves. The backdrop on this is, I'll give you the short version, I'll let you pick up on some of the details, is that Charles Baer came, right now in the city of Pensacola, if you have a pile of cardboard, or I guess until this meeting, if you have a pile of cardboard because you moved, you just call them and they'll come pick it up for free. The way they would pick up a couch, except they charge you $15 for the couch. Okay? So they had this, the idea was, you know, we can take care of people with this. Well, Charles decided that he wanted to make it so that that exemption for cardboard goes away, so that if you want to have them pick up cardboard, it'd be like any other bulk item, they have to pay $15 to do it. And the reason this came to his Laser Lake focused attention is that his neighbor had a pile of cardboard out on his lawn. And over the course of time, maybe a week or two, that it did not get picked up, the cardboard kept blowing in Charles's yard. And he confronted him about it. Hey, bro, can't do that. Yes, I can. What's wrong with you? I'm simulating the conversation. And
I really like the simulation that you're doing.
And so after some deep soul searching and pondering and thought, Councilman Bear decided to bring that to the city council to remedy. As you normally do with the dispute with your neighbor, you bring a new ordinance to the city council and solve the issue.
As the mayor made comments about this at his press conference, I at least wanted to say something. First of all, this came to me because, yes, I had a neighbor and his boxes were blowing into everyone else's yard. And it was helping happen multiple times because, as you know, sanitation doesn't have enough people. They're trying to hire people. They're doing the best they can. I know this. But they're not able to get out there and get these things. And so the boxes sit out there. They either get drenched or they would blow around everywhere because it just gets a little bit breezy here.
So sanitation's not doing great. They can't hire enough people. He's willing to be kind to them after several times criticizing them through the evening for being way behind on everything. And then, you know, you got all this cardboard blowing around in everybody's yard and we don't know what to do about it. So
I did not know this ordinance was on the books. And then I confirmed that it was, and it says moving boxes in the ordinance. So, and the cardboard boxes have proliferated our economy and everyone gets them now. And so I felt like we have recycling now, we didn't have recycling then. And this was something that I think we should be focusing on yard waste and other things. And I felt like this was not something that was the primary, should not be the primary focus since we are now doing recycling, which is why I put it out there.
So his theory is if you have cardboard boxes, put them in your recycling, you know, and since we have recycling and since cardboard is one of the primary things you put into recycling, then let the people recycle. Of course, on the other hand, if you're going to pay for a bin to recycle, and if people are not participating in recycling, which even though the people who are participating are doing a great job, the contamination rate is, I think, under 10%, like 7 or 8%. That's amazing. Not everybody has a recycling can, and are you going to order a recycling can just because you moved and then you're going to cancel it after a month? I mean, what's exactly the plan that he's got in mind here? In any case, there's some overlap in service between the cardboard boxes through recycling and the cardboard boxes through the one-time, no-cost pickup. DC Reeves.
I have almost 21,000 accounts, give or take, and 35 people a month call for this.
So it's widespread, surely.
That's
35 out of a city.
That's $525 in monthly revenue. And my position on this is we can't turn on the news without gas prices going up. We can't turn on the news. When we've had to make difficult decisions, we collectively, these are all decisions that we've had to make over the years, of what to do or not do based on prices. We're going to have more of those decisions, I can guarantee, moving ahead. I don't see that something that affects 0.16% of the city. As a matter, I mean, if we added up salaries in this room, we're going to spend more than $4,000 a year talking about this issue.
This is the most trivial of all trivial things, sir. But it is your prerogative to spend time on this. Even though the amount of money we're spending on the people who have to sit here and listen to this discussion is more than the city is ever going to revenue, even in an entire year at $15 a pop for 35 customers a month who actually take advantage of this service. Although they take advantage of it now for free, how many of them will pay $15? And the answer is fewer. That's how that works. If you raise the price, the consumption goes down. Don't get into conspicuous consumption with me. Stop. I'm not going to talk about Nordstrom's. Okay. Just, I know you're out there. I know you, the one person, you're saying that in your head, and I just want to nip it in the bud.
They're certainly free to the ordinances are your purview. You can bring up anything that you like. I would never discount that. But again, I feel like this, I'm a more data-driven person, and somebody having something blow into my yard doesn't, to me, constitute allowing an additional expense on top of the taxpayer. And again, I mean, if I have a dog relieve itself in my yard, I'm not going to ban golden retrievers in the city. I just think we have to think a little bit bigger and a little bit larger propose that than something that happened to me personally one time when we're talking about $525 a month and 0.16% of the city.
So these are all barbs, right? These are all jabs. These are all like, well, I'm more data driven, unlike you, Charles. And, you know, I'm not going to make a stupid ordinance like you are, and it's not blowing into my yard. You know, and I kind of wonder, what's going on in Councilman Bear's mind is, you know, well, if it's happening to me, it must be happening to everybody. It must be like an epidemic all around the city. Like, thousands of homes are having this virtual attack of the cardboard boxes. You know, it's like some bad 80s movie, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, Attack of the Cardboard Boxes, you know? And I got to stop it at the source. I got to keep these people from putting piles of cardboard in their yard and blowing all over the place. I mean, it's a windy place, Pensacola.
I have no hard feelings over the fact, because it is such a minute issue, I have no hard feelings over the fact of this passing. I'm not saying it. It's something that we can't do, and I'm happy to talk about yard waste here shortly during my comments to get the real facts where we are. So if there's something that you guys want to do, but I wanted to make clear to our public that when prices are going up and people are on budgets, that to frivolously pick something because something happened to a neighbor to increase something that on their bill isn't something that I support.
Frivolously. I just want to make sure that everybody knows is not me. Because what will happen, and he said this later on, is, you know, you're going to get your sanitation bill and you're going to think it's my fault. Well, I'm not for this at all. Then Jen Brayer.
So I absolutely am going to support it. And I was really sorry to hear you say the things you did on the radio when I listened to that or on your press conference, because I thought that was a little bit out of line, but I'm absolutely supporting this as I did the first time.
The stuff about it being kind of petty and personal and from having the one incident come with him as opposed to a policy issue.
It is interesting. If we do start marketing this, We're going to have a much bigger following for sanitation that's going to be coming to get cardboard boxes. Because I can tell you myself, really the two things I put in my recycling can are cardboard boxes and cans, okay? And so I can sell the cans. So I really, cardboard's the big thing, cardboard and paper. So why would I even have recycling if I could just put my cardboard at the curb, let it blow all over the place, and call sanitation, say, come collect it? And that's pretty much what we're doing right now. And what this gentleman was told, lives across the street from me, was that, well, maybe just put a rock on it or something. So that's the solution that sanitation is giving. Put your cardboard out there and put a rock on it.
Well, I mean, you know, that's one approach, I suppose.
I don't even know where the cardboard's going to go. So we're not supposed to put it in the gutter. If you put it in the gutter, it gets wet. It's just going to get all soggy. You can put it in your grass. I don't know. It's going to get soggy there because of dew. So I really, and if it sits there for 2 weeks.
The analysis. I mean, poor Charles. He just sort of can't help himself sometimes. Well, if it's in the gutter, then it's going to be wet. And if it's on the dew, then it's going to be wet. And then he got this soggy cardboard. And the cardboard that's soggy blows all over the place. We can't really recycle it once it's soggy. So this is just like a no-win situation. And a rock doesn't solve anything, let alone a cinder block. You know, what are we going to build a contraption? Give them the cardboard compressor device to hold it in place until sanitation can come by and pick it up? Are they going to lock it to prevent thieves from taking away the device? And I mean, what's to stop the raccoons? Dang raccoons.
And if it sits there for 2 weeks, which his did, I don't know how this works. So I was trying to solve a problem, and I thought things were fine until the mayor got on the radio and kind of made it sound like I was just had a feud with my neighbor. And the fact is, I didn't know this. The only reason it came from my neighbor is because I didn't know it existed. He had a pile of cardboard that kept blown away, and I'm like, can you do that? I didn't think you could do this. So that's how I found out about it.
Well, I don't know whether it was a feud or just a conversation or if it was a fight or a bickering or a yelling or a repeated incident. But, I mean, it did start from you having it blow in your yard from a neighbor. And it does sound like a pretty smallish incident. Now, on the other hand, I'll say this, that a lot of times you discover flaws in the system by having the experience of them. You know, and I've said this before about Charles is, you know, in his defense, is he's had a problem with what he thought was a failure of the grand legislative process, and he was trying to fix it because he thought maybe that there was an apocalypse of, you know, other people having this same issue, and he just wants to solve that problem and then come to find out, Well, it doesn't really happen all that often, but he was offended by the mayor coming on my show and talking about it, offended by the press conference and unfortunate things in the, you know, the radio. And you do these secret attacks on us with your radio interviews.
Because something happened with our neighbor, I don't believe is, and this is my opinion. This is your ordinance. You propose it. I'm allowed to make the point and have the opinion, certainly, whether it's in the media, the press conference, or on the radio or sitting here right now. I'm not running from that. My opinion is making ordinances for 21,000 customers because somebody's neighbor had something blow in their yard, I generally just is difficult to get behind because there's no data to that. There's no research.
As he said, and I don't remember whether he said it in the press conference or on my show last week or both, but this is not crack the top 100 of the things that he thinks need to be worked on at sanitation.
I wanted to make perfectly clear because you know when any increase comes, including from increases that were approved by you, you, Councilman Bear, are quick to say, well, the mayor increased. So all I'm clearly saying is this is an increase that's being requested by you and voted on by this council. I don't think it's $525 a month. So for total for the entire city. So if you don't want this to be a service to the citizens and you want to charge more for it, that is absolutely your right. And I'm not stamping on that. I'm going to separate myself from raising people's rates in this city on a frivolous thing because something happened with your neighbor. That is the only point I'll make. The last thing I'll say on this issue.
You know what we need is a GoFundMe to pay for everybody to have, you know, like, to, so that we can do some public support for the people and their hardship of their $15 a month. And that'll make everybody happy. That'll make, you know, D.C. happy. That'll make Charles. Well, I don't know what'll make Charles happy. make him temporarily happy. And then we'll have a real solution for this proposed. You ready? Card Baird box ordinance. No? No? Okay. All right. Well, I'll go on.
I mean,
Councilman Bear.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't think I've ever said the mayor increased something. In fact, you didn't implement the increases we had. So that's an unfair assessment to say that I would say that, because if I vote for something here, I stand behind it. And so, you know, if we do this, I'll stand behind it. It's not the mayor doing it. You could veto it, you know, as I've said, but that was unfair. Thank you.
but remember, what the mayor was saying was partially Charles would blame him. Who knows? But also that people would perceive it a certain way was more the issue. So then, and I kid you not, we got Daryl Singleton, the sanitation director, up there to clarify some stuff. And it was fascinating.
The way we do it now is...
If you can't believe I'm spending, you know, 12 minutes on this, this was like, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes of the council meeting. This is the summary. This is the, like, Reader's Digest version. What's Reader's Digest? Ask your grandmother.
The way we do it now is on your recycle day, we try to schedule, if you schedule a pickup, we try to make it the same day as your recycle day. That way if we get there, and it's legit, you actually have some dry, nice cardboard, we can recycle it. If it's not legit, if it's wet, if it's laid in the ditch, it's been in the dirt, it's going in the garbage can. But we try to schedule resources so that I don't make a special trip for it. Same thing, that's why it could be there a number of days and blow around, because if you call and say, I want a cardboard pickup, we're gonna look and see, well, does your neighbor want us to pick up a coffee table on the 16th? Well, I'm not going over there till the 16th then, because I gotta get two birds with one stone. It's not worth my while just to come get your cardboard boxes.
Yeah, which makes sense, right? We're not gonna be dispatching trucks just to get, you know, Mrs. Jones on J Street. It's not in the city. I don't, maybe it is. Anyway, you know, we're not, I have to think of the city map. Part of it would be, part of it wouldn't be. You know, we're not distraction truck just to go around and catch the cardboard, which, by the way, just as a practical matter, if you've ever moved and then you've ever tried to dispose of the cardboard, it's a pain. Now, we usually just keep our cardboard because we've moved a lot. And funny thing is, now we have a great stock of cardboard and haven't moved in 12 years, which I'm not complaining about. I'm happy about that. But, you know, it's a lot of cardboard to get rid of, and you cannot put it in the recycling bin, you know, two boxes at a time. So over the course of like 53 weeks, you're going to eventually deplete all your cardboard that's in your garage.
So we schedule them. If it stays there, you know, we even make the recommendation. We'll say, hey, can you leave it in your garage and keep it dry? And then on the 16th, you will put it out. We'll come and get it, or whatever your day is. So we do try to plan these out not to have an impact on us.
And what if...
I would not want to go just pick up your cardboard, you know, the next day.
Which makes sense. I'm glad he's running things, making good decisions.
And what if the requests double or triple? Is that going to put a burden?
Really, we would have to just look at it and see. You know, if as long as we can keep them when bulk is in your area. You know, same thing. If you order a couch down the street, you have a refrigerator you want us to pick up. If we can schedule them in that groove, then it's not an impact.
Okay, so what he's getting at is the idea, because the concern had been that if they make this, if they keep it free and people discover it, then all of a sudden everybody's going to be using this service. And what he's saying is, okay, the reason it sits there is because we don't want to just go for cardboard. We're trying to be smart with our resources. We want to wait until there's a bulk pickup in the area already and go do it for that reason. And, you know, along the way, we do this as well. And if there starts to be more, well, you know, we'll just figure it out. But part of the reason it might stay there is for a while and sit there on, you know, Charles Bear's neighbor's lawn and blow around is because there's been no other reason to go to that neighborhood with the truck. We don't want to send the truck just on this, you know, one-time, you know, card bear Uber pickup mission. DoorDash or, I don't know, I want his comment about the do grass dash or do dash or whatever. But you don't like card paired box ordinance, John?
It's got to grow on me, son.
All right. I'll allow it. Anyway, so they voted, and lo and behold.
I don't see any other speakers, so I'll call for a vote.
How's it going to go? What do you think?
And that passed 4-3.
He won. Charles Bear won. He got Jen Brayer. Jared Moore was the surprise to me, and Delarian Wiggins on his side. Allison Patton, Tanya Day Broughton, and Casey Jones voted against it. So now there's no more free bulk pickup, no more concierge service by the city for your moving boxes or any other boxes. You want boxes picked up, you're going to pay for it. Pay for it. Because of the card-bared box ordinance.
Attention on deck, Pensacola. Mark your calendars for the Pensacola Navy Days celebration, May 8th through the 10th, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. As the cradle of naval aviation, Pensacola's relationship with the military runs deep. This exciting event celebrates our ties to the armed forces, honoring those serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and beyond. Navy Days kicks off on Friday, May 8th, with a golf tournament and black tie night at the museum gala at the National Naval Aviation Museum. On Saturday, May 9th, don't miss the 4K run walk and patriotic parade through downtown Pensacola. The festivities continue at Plaza de Luna with a family fun fest. And Sunday, May 10th, join us at Museum Plaza for a special Modern El Dorados concert presented by the City of Pensacola. Join residents and visitors alike in celebrating over two centuries of Pensacola's ties to the world's finest military forces. Visit PensacolaNavyDays.org for details, lodging specials, and how to get involved.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers, tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pecola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Baby, you make me wish I had three hands.
By the way, there is, you can call for bulk pickup. I think you could probably call 311 if you're in the city as well. There's a website, it's real easy to find, called Special Collection for the City of Pensacola if you had questions about all this. Somebody says, I like the card bear box ordinance concept. Somebody else is like, why are you picking on raccoons all morning? I don't know, trash pandas, whatever. Somebody else calls it trash dash. I love it. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so but we'll see if we talk about that again. But sometimes you get stuff one time in the 5 o'clock hour.
Listen on air.